The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 6, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 16th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 22, Prithu Maharaja's Meeting with the Kumaras, Text Number 6.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Atakasana asinan
Svadishneshviva
bhavakan Shraddha sangyama sangyukta
Pritta
praha
bhagrajan.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The four great sages were elder to Lord Shiva, and when they were seated on the golden throne, they appeared just like the fire blazing on an altar. Maharaj Prithu, out of his great gentleness and respect for them, began to speak with great restraint as follows. Purport. The Kumaras are described herein as the elder brothers of Lord Shiva. When the Kumaras were born out of the body of Lord Brahma, they were requested to get married and increase the population. In the beginning of the creation, there was a great need of population. And therefore, Lord Brahma was creating one son after another and ordering them to increase. However, when the Kumaras were requested to do so, they declined. They wanted to remain brahmachari throughout life and be fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. The Kumaras are called naishtika brahmachari, meaning they are never to marry. Because of their refusal to marry, Lord Brahma became so angry that his eyes became reddish. From between his eyes, Lord Shiva or Rudra appeared. The mode of anger is consequently known as Rudra. Lord Shiva also has a Sampradaya party known as the Rudra Sampradaya, and they are also known as Vaishnavas.
Mandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So these Kumaras, they're very famous Brahmacharis. Their father had a plan for them. Get married and have children. And they refused to do that. Brahma was rather disturbed with them over that. But they were staunch brahmachari. Tapasa brahmacharina shamena cha damena cha tyagena satyasalvya brahm. This is the vow of brahmachari. He wants to remain fixed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. He does not want to become distracted from being fully absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is actually recommended as the ideal thing for a man to do. Remain brahmachari throughout the entire life. Sometimes it is said, no wife, no strife. No wife, no strife. Strife means headache, difficulty. That is the propaganda from the brahmacharis. No wife, no strife. But the householders, they say, no wife, no life. So the brahmachari, he is lamenting, you see. The brahmachari, he is lamenting. And the householder is also lamenting. The brahmachari is lamenting, oh, there's this cute young brahmacharini, I wish she could be my girlfriend, you know. The householder is lamenting, oh my God, look what I get stuck with for my whole life. So which lament is better, you see? The brahmachari, he will get over that as he advances in Krishna consciousness. And he will come to higher levels of understanding. He will come beyond the bodily platform as he becomes more and more absorbed in Krishna bhakti. So he will get over that lamentation. But the householder, he's permanently stuck. Therefore, it is recommended brahmachari. That is the ideal position to be in. Of course, if one can utilize one's genital for producing Krishna conscious children, that is also glorious. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati said that I would be prepared to have sex 100 times if I can produce Krishna conscious children. But he never did that. He always remained brahmachari. Of course, one should take whatever position is favorable for Krishna consciousness. This is not the International Society for Brahmacharis. Nor is it the International Society for Grihasthas. This is the International Society for Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we see someone will take the vow of sannyas. That I want to become lifelong brahmachari, staunch brahmachari. But then they become disturbed by a woman and they fall down. So it's better not to be some artificial renunciate. Better to become an honest householder. It is compared, just like the crocodile and the elephant. There is a pastime, Gajendra the elephant. He was being attacked by a crocodile who was within the water. So, because he was in the environment of the crocodile, he was being defeated, even though he was a more powerful animal. Because he was in the crocodile's domain, the crocodile was defeating him. So it's better, Prabhupada explains, that one should be in one's own natural atmosphere. If he is more suited for being a householder, it is better to be a householder. Because there he will have a strength in the war against Maya. There's no point in being an artificial brahmachari, making a show. When one's heart is actually inclined towards being a householder. But if one can actually manifest the qualities of brahmachari and be fixed in that mood, then he is in a much better position. Because the household life, it is called dark well. Sometimes, out in the countryside, there is a well that was dug, but now the well has been abandoned. And you come walking along through the tall grasses, and you just happen to fall into this well. Someone may come walking along in the tall grass, and they don't notice, and they fall into this well. And what will they do? They're far away from anyone. They're in a remote rural area. They've fallen into this well. They're crying for help. Nobody can hear their cries for help. They are stuck in the well. So sometimes household life is compared to that. The dark well of household life. So if one can remain brahmachari, you see, then it's very conducive. The brahmachari, he can easily live in the temple, you see. Because his material needs are very simple. He can be engaged from morning till night simply in Krishna consciousness. Rising by 4 o'clock in the morning, taking bath, putting on the tilak, dhoti, kurta, coming to Mangal Arati, chanting japa with the devotees, worshipping the spiritual master, hearing the Bhagavatam class, engaged in wonderful activities of preaching. In this way, his whole life can easily be filled up. The whole lifetime can be filled up with pure Krishna Katha. But as soon as he gets married, now he has to maintain his wife and his children that are becoming. So he has to go out and get a job and work for some karmi in some material atmosphere where nobody knows about Krishna. And he has to do it every day for hours and hours, and they work him so hard, he gets so tired. He doesn't want to do it, but he has to, because he has to maintain his wife. And it's for the whole life. He used to spend 10, 20, 30, 40, even 50 years working every day, practically the whole week. And then even on the weekends, the boss calls him in, well, we need some extra help on the weekend. You have to come in this weekend also, Saturday and Sunday. You have to work 7 days this week. And there's no end to it. Your whole life you have to be a slave of some karmi employer. Until finally there's no energy left in your body to do anything. And they say, okay, now you can retire. Now that you have no energy left, you can retire. So in this way, the house of life is a great austerity. And brahmachari life is like a picnic. The only problem is if the brahmachari is constantly lusting after the women, you see. Then that brahmachari life is torture. Therefore, the brahmachari is taught not to lust after the women. He is taught to address every woman as mother, Mataji. Because who would, what gentleman would ever think of having sex with his mother? You see? So that is the Vedic culture. We call the women as Mataji, or mother. Many times Srila Prabhupada trains us like this, that we should call the women as Mataji or mother. Of course, Prabhupada did say that we should address every devotee as Prabhu also. Because every devotee is our Prabhu or our master. But he specifically stated that women should be addressed as mother. He never specifically stated women should be addressed Prabhu. He never specifically said women should be addressed as Prabhu. Although sometimes to encourage the ladies, Prabhupada did say Jamuna Prabhu or Malati Prabhu. Prabhupada did sometimes say Prabhu to the ladies also, to encourage them that you're equally as good as your brothers. But what he instructed us was that we should address the women as mother. And we see it's there in our Vedic culture, Mother Jasoda. Did we ever hear Jashoda Prabhu? No, we always hear Mother Jashoda. So Mother is a very, very respectable title. The Mother is worshipable. The son is meant to bow down at the feet of his mother every day, according to Bhagavad Gita. There is a verse that the austerity of the body is to bow down before one's mother and father. And Prabhupada trained us like that, actually. Even with the karmi parents. When Gargamuni and Brahmananda's mother came to the temple, Prabhupada said, you should bow down at your mother's feet. And they did that. They bowed down at their mother's feet. Yeah, also, I was trained to do that. Vishnu Jana Maharaj also told me to bow down to my parents, and I did that. Actually, they were very happy. Because when I was, before I was a devotee, I was never so respectful to my parents. They had big smiles on their faces when I bowed down at their feet. They loved it. So this Vedic culture means there is great respect, you see. So if the brahmachari can learn how to respect all the ladies as his mothers, then he can remain peacefully as brahmachari throughout the whole life.
Ir jei prakmačiaris išmoksta visas moteris gerbti kaip savo motinas, tada jis gali išlikti prakmačiarį visą gyvenimą.
Brahmachari should not be fanatical.
Prakmačiaris taip pat neturėtų būti fanatišku.
I remember one time I went to a Ratha Yatra festival. I was a brahmachari at the time. And one brahmachari saw that I had a simply wonderful a sweet. I was going to eat a sweet. And he immediately came up to me and to tell me not to eat that sweet, you see. He said, that's a dhoti whitener. In other words, if you eat that sweet, you're going to fall down from brahmachari life, you'll have to wear white, you see. So you must not eat that sweet, it's a dhoti whitener. I noticed a few months later that brahmachari was married. But I was still a brahmachari. For 14 years I was a brahmachari. So we should not be fanatical about these things. If one is extreme, then that means one is not peaceful mind, you see. A brahmachari means he's equipoised, he's well balanced, he's not disturbed, his mind is peaceful, that is brahmachari. He's not running after women, nor does he hate women. He simply sees everyone as Krishna's parts and parcel, and he does his service very nicely, that's all. Of course, to protect his brahmachari ashram, he takes care not to be alone especially with a brahmacharini. And he does not unnecessarily talk with the brahmacharini. Just whatever is necessary for the service. But it's not that he tries to develop a close friendship with one of the brahmacharinis. He just deals in an official manner. As Mataji. So in this way, the brahmachari, he can safeguard his brahmachari consciousness. And not get entangled in grihastha ashram. But then if he's too much disturbed, then he may take household life. But he should take that training he received as a brahmachari and utilize it to be a grihastha brahmachari. He should not be in the enjoying mood now that I'm a married man. No. He must keep that transcendental renounced mood of brahmachari even when he is grihastha. Because if he develops enjoying spirit, then he becomes grihamedi. He becomes materialistic also. We see in our ISKCON that many times happen. A nice fired up brahmachari, he gets married, then his spiritual life falls apart. He stops getting up for Brahma Muhurta. He stops chanting his rounds, he stops following the principles. He starts listening to mundane music, so many things. So, one should be a brahmachari as every young man should try to be an ideal brahmachari. That is the best training to become a sannyasi. And it is also the best training to be a first-class grihastha. So the brahmachari ashram, it is actually the most important ashram in our movement. Because it is the training ground for first-class grihasthas and first-class sannyasis. So, of course, there's the Brahmacharini. She's a similar thing. That's Prabhupada. There was no Brahmacharini in the Vedic culture. And all the girls were married, but even before they attained puberty, they were already married. But because nowadays the girls aren't married properly in proper timings, therefore, to facilitate them, Srila Prabhupada also allowed Brahmacharinis. That the girls, they can cultivate qualities of chastity and focus on developing Krishna consciousness. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said all the girls should be married. And he said all the boys should remain brahmachari. And he said that is the dilemma. I want all the men to stay to remain brahmachari and all the women to get married. So somehow or other, Krishna takes care of everyone. If we just fully surrender ourselves to Krishna, Anyanyaschyanta yantomang ye jana prayapasate, tesham nichabhyuktanang yogachemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they like. So all every devotee really has to do is just fully surrender to Krishna. Be completely absorbed in having no desire except to please Krishna. And then Krishna will perfectly arrange everything for you. Everything will be perfectly arranged. And so there's no anxiety. Actually, Prabhupada one time said, he said, any of the girls, if they learn how to be very first-class cook and they learn how to be very chaste, I will personally arrange for their marriage. So this is the quality for the girls. They should be very, very chaste. And they should learn how to cook very, very nicely. That is the first class qualification for the girl. So anyway, if we follow these principles very nicely as Prabhupada has given us, then we will be one very big happy family all over the world. We don't need to change the system that Prabhupada has given us. What Srila Prabhupada has given us is perfect. We simply have to learn how to absorb ourselves in this Vedic culture that Prabhupada has given us. Because that will nourish and enhance our spiritual advancement. And that will enable us to become more and more and more Krishna conscious. More and more happy. And will assure us that we can go back to home, back to God at the time of death. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
May you tell something about Vishnujana Swami?
What about him?
Something, tell about him.
You want me to tell something about Vishnujana Maharaj? Wow. Vishnujana Maharaj was absolutely incredible person. Nitai Nitai Gora Chandra Ki Jai Shishi Radha Dhamara Ki Jai. Actually, Krishna sent Vishnujana Maharaj to Austin in answer to my prayer. I was praying for pure bhakti. I didn't know how to achieve it. I was praying that God will guide me how to become a pure devotee. And within several days of praying like that, Vishnujana Maharaj shows up in Austin. Srila Prabhupada had told him to open 10 temples. That was his order from Prabhupada. So he opened one in Houston, Texas, which is a flourishing temple now, a big, big temple. And then he heard that there was Austin, Texas was the state capital. It was the Mecca in those days for the hippie movement. That's where all the hippies went, to Austin. So the hippies had a street market that the city allowed them to do on just right across from the university campus. They set up a market on the street selling incense and beads and all this hippie type stuff. The government let them do it. And one hippie had met the devotees, he was selling incense, but he shaved his head and he had a sikha. And he was selling Prabhupada's books along with his incense. No, one hippie. So Vishnujana Maharaj heard about this. See, there was no devotees in this whole town. But here was a hippie who'd shaved his head with a sikha and he was selling incense along with Prabhupada's books to the... He thought, wow, this is like something, a good place to go open a center. Sounds like the people up there are ready for devotees to come. So he came there, he had no money, he had no vehicle. He had his danda, he had a blanket, he has a razor blade and a toothbrush. He had the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the original brown Bhagavatams that came on the ship. He had those. So he had one boy from Houston drive him to Austin and drop him off. So he was there with no vehicle, no money, no vehicle. And he had a few cases of Back to Godhead magazine. That was it. He had no madanga. He had no kartals. He had no harmonium. Well, how can he start a temple? No money, no musical instruments, no vehicle. All he had was his danda, his blanket, his razor blade, toothbrush and a first can of the Bhagavatam and a few BTG. That's all he had. He didn't know anybody in the town. He had no place to stay. He had no money to get food to eat. Nothing. That is called sannyas. So he shows up in town. So he went to that street market where all the hippies were hanging out. And he started clapping his hands and chanting. One devotee all alone just clapping his hands, singing. But I tell you, when Vishnujana Maharaj would sing, it was like a Gandharva. Prabhupada noted that he had the ability to enchant people by his kirtan. So just by singing, he attracted so many hippies. Who is this person with a shaved head and this bright saffron robe singing so beautifully here on the street? So he would tell the hippies, he would say, "You invite me to your home, and I will turn your home into a temple." So he would do that. He had a Namahat program going on. Every night he would have a Namahat in a different house. And all day long he would sell the Back to Godhead magazines for 25 cents each. He would take all that money and he would go to the grocery store and buy the boga in the late afternoon. He would go to the house where he's having the program that night and cook a wonderful prasadam feast. And then we would all come in time for the program, and he would do the kirtan, he'd give the lecture. And we would be absolutely enchanted by his words. He was absolutely amazing. Like somebody who just dropped in out of Vaikunth. So within a short time he made so many devotees. Now remember, he still didn't have a house, he has still no facility. But two Brahma, even when there was no temple, it was just a floating Namahat program. Two men surrendered and became brahmacharis. Even though there was no temple, there was no place to stay. They were just living on the street. But one of them had a vehicle. He had a jeep, a four-wheel drive jeep. So he later on became Dvija Hari Prabhu. So anyway, but then there was one professor at the university, an English professor. His name was Ray Neubauer. And he was also very inspired by this Swami. So he had, "Swami, I will rent a house. My wife and I will live in one room. And then you all can have the rest of the house for the temple." So within a matter of weeks, he had no money, he had no vehicle, he had no followers, he had nothing except his hands and a set of Bhagavatam and a danda. Within a matter of weeks, he had a temple building. He had surrendered devotees who were working under him. He had a first-class jeep that would drive even on the land. Four-wheel drive. Actually, they told Prabhupada about that jeep. Prabhupada said, "Yes, that is sannyas. Can go anywhere." So anyway, I was captured by Vishnu Janmana. At the time, I was a songwriter. I wanted to make a spiritual revolution on this planet by writing songs that would elevate the consciousness of the whole world. But I couldn't figure out how to write such songs to even elevate my own consciousness. So I was praying to God to guide me now. What do you want me to do? I was praying. Please guide me how to become your perfect servant. I was staying with a friend named Mike. And one day, a friend of Mike's, her name was Margaret, she came knocking on Mike's door. There's a Hare Krishna. She came in, she said, "There's a Hare Krishna Swami in town. And he will be at my apartment in 1 hour." So that's how I met Vishnu Janmana. And he invited me down to the love feast down in the park. It was a very simple love feast. Three preparations. Sweet rice, apple chutney, and potatoes, boiled potatoes with sour cream and turmeric. But when I ate that prasadam, I was no longer in this material world. So, Vishnu Dhammaraj had some real shakti, there's no doubt. And Prabhupada personally told me, he said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Janamara. So I can never forget my Vardhma Pradarshaka Guru. Actually, I always keep his lotus feet in my heart. He is my worshipful guru. Because he brought me to my eternal spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So I'm eternally indebted to Vishnu Janamara. And I'm praying for that day when I can again have his darshan. He's the sweetest, most wonderful Vaishnava that you could ever imagine. Vishnu Jana Maharaj Ki Jai. So any other questions? Yeah.
We also have material desires, and like Dhruva Maharaja, he had desire for prosperity, and when Krishna gave this also, and he gave pure devotion also. So we had his brahmacharya, and see, if we had some desire for household life, will Krishna also fulfill it, or he can dispel it?
Can he give it up?
Yeah.
If the brahmachari is feeling some attraction for a household life, he can. What is the question?
It was earlier. He had such a desire for a household life. Can Krishna remove it or?
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. The brahmachari should try to give up that household desire. That's a very good thing. That is his advancement. That could be done also. One could have a very strong desire to be Krishna conscious, but at the same time be disturbed by the desire for married life. So one can become completely surrendered to Krishna. At the same time, Krishna fulfilled that desire for household life as well. Just like Dhruva Maharaj got his material desire fulfilled, even though he was no longer interested in it. He was saying that worldly kingdom like a broken piece of glass, but still Krishna gave it to him because he had wanted it. I don't know if I'm answering the question according to the way it's being asked. That's the answer? That answer your question?
I had such a desire before, but now I'm trying to remove it. So Krishna will anyway to fulfill it, but or not?
Will Krishna fulfill it?
Yeah,
if your desire is strong to be renounced, Krishna will definitely bless you that you can remain naishtika brahmachari. Yeyatamang prapadyante tangstataiva bhajam yaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. That's why I recommend to you that you should go forward in this process by taking also diksha. You see, that means you're fully surrendering yourself to Krishna. Diksha means you're totally giving up any idea of independence or being an enjoyer. Completely giving it up. That your only desire now is to please your spiritual master, nothing else. That will help you to be strong as a brahmachari. That my pleasure is simply to please my spiritual master, that's all. So we're going to end class a little early today because now we are heading out for Visaganas. We'll be back here tomorrow morning for the class. You had this point you wanted to bring? We have to squeeze it in real quick then. Okay. What is the... Is this the Nectar Devotion? Is this talking about the Nityananda Vamsa?
Yeah.
There is always, anytime there is a true Sampradaya, there may be split offs from that Sampradaya also. As long as we are in this material world, there will sometimes be split offs from the true Sampradaya. The Sampradaya is compared to tree, you see. The Chaitanya Sampradaya, the coming from Lord Chaitanya, it is called the Chaitanya tree. Each follower of Lord Chaitanya, then he in turn has his own disciples. And the follower of Lord Chaitanya, he has disciples also. And his disciples have disciples who have disciples. And this way the tree branches out more and more. Some branches are healthy because they're in healthy state. But there's sometimes a branch becomes diseased also because they deviate from the original teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Those diseased branches, they eventually die and fall off the tree. Just like even now in ISKCON, we have a branch called the Ritvik movement. They are not accepting the conclusions of Srila Prabhupada. They're inventing their own conclusions about the philosophy. And they are claiming to be part of our movement. They're claiming to be the real Hare Krishna movement. They're saying that we are not the real Hare Krishna movement. But they are deviating from exactly what Prabhupada told us in his books. So they have cut themselves off in the Chaitanya tree. So these things do happen in the history of Vaishnavism. Someone, because they have some material desire, they invent their own new movement and they claim it's a legitimate movement. It's based on their own material desire. One has to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Mahajano yena gutasa pantha. If one invents one's own philosophy, then one is cut off from the Chaitanya tree. So this Nityananda Vamsa, they have invented their own new teaching, which is deviated from Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Just like these modern-day Ritvik people have done the same thing. So they will vanish into oblivion, but the true followers of Lord Chaitanya, they will create a golden era on this planet in due course of time. And does that answer your question? All right, what's the what is the unanswered portion?
Jeigu tai yra mokinių grupė, kuri buvo Čaitanijos mokiniai, tai ta tiesa meditacijos metu turbūt turėtų būti matoma visiems vienodai, jeigu tai transcendentinis pasaulis yra tiesos pasaulis. Nu, aš gal net nesuformuoju klausimą.
He asks about giving the knowledge to his passing, like he says that knowledge is passed by means of meditation, and how it is possible.
No, it's passed by means of Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound vibration.
Žinojimas yra perdamas ne meditacijos, bet garso pagalba, Shabda Brahma.
Not by meditation.
Ne meditacijos pagalba.
It's like I can tell you that Krishna is God.
Aš jums dabar sakau, kad Krishna yra Dievas.
You see, I have passed the knowledge to you.
Aš jums perdodu žinojimą.
If you accept the knowledge, then you can tell someone else, Krishna is God. And if he accepts the knowledge, then he can tell someone else that Krishna is God. So it is not by meditation. It is through transcendental sound vibration. That I vibrate, Krishna is God, that enters into your ear, you accept it in your heart. That's how it happens. All right then, so now we'll head out for Visalganas via the ashram. So we thank you all very much. We'll see you tomorrow morning here at Bhagavatam class. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.